Good evening, everybody. On the eve of summer. Yeah, I mean, not literally the eve, but pretty much the eve. It's so wonderful how each season is new and that you notice different things. And so this end of spring, I'm noticing how the sort of, what do you call it? The surge of power that rises to meet all that sunlight crests, and then, you know, the leaves keep getting larger and things keep blooming more, and some things start already to get a little bit brittle, and meanwhile that surge has already crested, and there's a kind of riding it on into summer that I'm finding very touching and beautiful. I love it when somebody makes a request, because it's like, oh, okay. So he's requested the red thread, which is very, very present in some of our studies and discussions right now anyway, and let alone the world. So it seemed like a good choice, so I thought, okay. And some of us already have started to read a book that that Meredith, our member in Denver, recommended, by Susan Murphy, who's a teacher in the Pacific Zen School, at least partially in the Pacific Zen School, and called the Zen, called Red Thread Zen, Humanly Entangled in Emptiness. So I thought I would take that koan up with you tonight, and because some things that are going on with me right now are so red threadish, I'm going to be leaving a lot of space for conversation. It feels right tonight, anyway, that it will be that we will be meeting this koan together. The koan says, why are perfectly accomplished saints and bodhisattvas still attached to the red thread? Or another translation says, why can't clear-eyed bodhisattvas sever the red thread? You know, not that much difference. Just the impact of the language is a little different. Why are perfectly accomplished saints and bodhisattvas still attached to the red thread? And just to bring the red thread vividly into the room, I'd like to begin by having you all toss your associations into the space. And they don't have to be Buddhist associations, and they can be, you know, bring it all. So for those who might not have encountered this koan before, I won't say the, but historically, there were many associations with the red thread having to do with concubines and women in general and passion and all the entanglements thereof. And yet, you know, the minute you say it, associations abound. So that, if you try to sort of pick one association, you've already diminished it quite a bit. So let's just hear them for a minute. So just toss out red or thread or red thread. Associations that come up first for you.
Red is the color of love.
Veins. My sister was going to start a clothing company and named it the Red Thread. She never did. Or her and her partner decided to name it Lula Maxine instead.
Great. Which has a certain amount of red threadishness to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lineage.
Say that again?
Lineage.
Lineage.
Anger.
Anger. Yeah. Speak loudly so everybody
can. Path.
Yeah. Path.
Heat. Connection.
Passion.
Action.
Menstruation.
Piercing.
Stigma.
Binding.
Anthropological heritage.
Entangled.
Fire.
Tide.
Say that again.
Tide.
Tide.
Breath.
War. Protective barrier.
Messy, messy.
Boundaries.
Sad.
Race.
Breath.
An unfinished raucous hill.
The red and the black.
putting ribbon.
Unraveling and weaving. Thank you. So that in itself felt like a weaving to me, of, as we breathed our connections into this field. Student's response that Susan Murphy quoted really, really struck me was emptiness bleeds. That seemed to me like a two-word summary of the Heart Sutra. Really, really beautifully done. One you could just, you know, just your two words to take with you. Two wild words. Emptiness bleeds. And what I kind of love about that is that it's not an explanation. And I love that about our associations too. They're so much richer than an explanation. We could answer that question, why are perfectly accomplished saints and bodhisattvas still attached to the red thread? It's not that hard to formulate an answer or two. But then you're kind of done. It's like game over, you know, put in another coin, because that has no flesh on it, bones. It has no blood, right? So rather than do that, what I'd like for us to do is mess with it together. So I'll say a few things and then open it up, and hopefully by the time I say my few things, you won't have lost the rich field of associations that's in the room. About how emptiness bleeds could be a summary of the Heart Sutra. What I found coming up was when we say, not staying, not born, not destroyed, not stained, not pure, without loss, without gain. If I hold my sense of red threadishness as I say those words, all kinds of associations come up, you know, and one is the not born, not destroyed. That, think about how many fights arise about when does a life become a life. We don't know where a life comes from. We don't know where one end of the red thread is even in a person's existence. I have no clue. And when you either give birth or witness a birth, that mystery is so present. So where did this come from? How did this happen? Where did it begin? And then at death, if you witness death, and probably when you experience death, I think there is that, certainly in my experience, there is that same, wait a minute, where I didn't see the end. I don't see an end. I don't see where it goes. I don't know what happened. There isn't an end to this red thread. And yet, so not born, not, and yet there's a birth, right? And there's a death. So what about that? What about that? And appearance and disappearance, not stained, not pure. Boy. I was remembering what it is as a girl when you get your first period. And people have all different kinds of experiences, but for everybody that I know, including me, there's that sense of mystery there too, of what? What just happened? Where does this come from? Where? And we have scientific explanations, but fundamentally, it's just stunning and then ordinary at the same time. You know, has practical stuff you have to deal with. And so, and at birth, I remember when I gave birth the first time that the beauty of my, of this new person, it's just incredible. Overwhelming beauty of this person. And then when you look at the pictures later, it's like, oh man, that picture needs to come out of the album. Blood and mass and a little bloody person. But that's just not the experience, not stained, not pure, you know. And with passion the same, you know, that washes over you and will not be denied. Not stained, not pure. Without loss, without gain. And yet so full of loss and gain, right? We ache and we celebrate. And red, both the color of, nobody said celebration. But what color is your birthday party invitation? Maybe. And then on to, therefore, you know, in emptiness there is no eye, no nose, no tongue. And I pictured a little person in front of me and saying, show me your no eye. They'll have no problem with that. Show me your no nose. No problem. And so on. And so then the bodhisattva lives in prajnaparamita, lives in, with no hindrance and no fear. And from this is born the body of Buddha action. And so we have prajnaparamita, and the womb of Buddha action. And we have womb and embryo not separated. And and the red thread of umbilicus, yeah. Dark original mother emptiness, full of blood. So the koan gives us this question, why? And most koans, I didn't look through them all, but they're not so much why questions a lot of times. They're more what's it like, and what if, and what about, you know, and what is. Yeah? So this one really stands out to me as a, we have some why. The frog and crows thing asks a why, but which is interesting, that being very much a red thread koan as well. but so the question I wanted to bring in especially is, what is the power of the question itself? If answering it is not that interesting, our explanations, you know, not that interesting, what if the power is in the question? Why? Are perfectly accomplished saints and bodhisattvas still attached to the red thread? What I found coming up was this sense that in it, in the question, we hold hands all the way down into the heart of the mystery. A question is a relationship. Yeah? And a question already in our why and our because, or in our why and I don't know, and in our why and our why indeed, we are no longer one. We are no longer separate. We are connected to each other in that why. Why did my young friend Josh kill himself last week? Why? We hold hands and we weep and we remember and we celebrate a life. And the holding hands is a why. That heart of mystery that we so often express as, I don't know. And that why, that's a signal, I think, for every time, and the red thread itself seemed to me today also a kind of shorthand or a signal for every time that there's an opening in us, when we bleed, when we give birth, when we die, so you know we consider ourselves seamless. A body is interestingly seamless. And the when we bleed is when there's an eruption in that surface seamlessness of a body. So that was coming up for me as well. So what I would like, so the I have a quote from Susan Murphy that I really liked. And that I think may be an opener for conversation, and then I have a poem or two we can close with. She says, there's a keenly felt difference that should pierce the heart of any half-alive human being between taking part in this great fact that everything we are and do actualizes an undivided reality. Emptiness bleeds. and standing apart from it. So let me read that again. There's a keenly felt difference that should pierce the heart of any half-alive human being between taking part in this great fact that everything we are and do actualizes an undivided reality and standing apart from it. What happens when we know that everything we are and do actualizes an undivided reality? What is it like when we try to stand apart from it? What happens then? The red thread that cannot be cut is what draws us to the place where this can hurt enough, stir us to life. So I'd like to stop there and open the floor for the conversation.
Would you read that last sentence?
I'll read the whole thing again. There's a keenly felt difference that should pierce the heart of any half-alive human being between taking part in this great fact that everything we are and do actualizes an undivided reality and standing apart from it. The red thread that cannot be cut is what draws us to the place where this can hurt enough, stirs us to life.